It's the Agribusiness Report. I'm Tony St. James. We're joined today by the Honorable Representative Rodney Davis. Great to see you.
Great to see you, Tony. Thanks for coming by.
So it's a big week here in Congress because it's baseball.
Baseball all around. First off, I'm very happy my St. Louis Blues won the Stanley Cup last night. Congrats to the Blues, and my hat's off to all these long-waiting Blues fans. But baseball season coming up, congressional baseball game is going to be a good time. Great camaraderie. Brings up a lot of good efforts to raise money for a lot of local D.C. charities. And proud to play. It's like being a kid in a candy store on that major league field.
So when we talk about baseball, we talk about teamwork. And kind of hard to play the game, at least defensively, if you're the only one out there. When it comes to the teamwork that has been put together here in D.C., you work with different caucuses, if you will, whether we're talking farm issues or whatever. How important are those different groups, those different teams that you work with?
Oh, teamwork matters in everything we do. That's why, you know, I came to Washington to actually legislate, accomplish things, get things done, which is why I value bipartisanship. I just had one of my colleagues, Lisa Blunt Rochester, used to serve with me on the House Ag Committee. That's where we got to know each other well and become friends. I went to her district last year. She came to my district this year. And what we found out was there were so many similarities between our districts, but also large agribusiness giants that are in her district were partnering up with agribusiness giants in my district. You know, Corteva, ADM. Partnering on technology that's going to help lighten the plastic bottles that we now use, make them more bio-based. I mean, this is what partnerships are all about. And having the ability to travel to each other's districts makes me understand what she needs, and she understands what I need in my district. And I'll tell you, one of the best moments I've ever had in Congress. You know, my district's home to a lot of Lincoln history. Abe himself is buried there. I took her to the Abraham Lincoln Museum and Library, and we got to show an original copy of the Emancipation Proclamation. And Lisa, being the first ever African American female elected out of the state of Delaware, that was special for her to see that and to tear up, knowing that, you know, this is not about politics, it's not about R's and D's, it's about friendship, and it's also about history. Without Abe Lincoln being able to represent my area, his one term in Congress, or being president from the area that I serve, Lisa Blunt Rochester wouldn't be able to serve in Congress. And for me to be able to partner with Lisa that day meant a lot to me. But it also should mean a lot to the people who value bipartisanship, who value getting things done in Washington.
So when we talk about that bipartisanship, sometimes we have challenges getting both sides together. When it comes to trade, I think both sides agree we need good trade deals. There is one that's teed up for you, USMCA. What do you see?
Well, it's on the clock. I mean, the Trump administration submitted it, so it's up to our Speaker of the House, Nancy Pelosi, to put the approval of the USMCA on the floor of the House. I think it will pass. I think it's a better deal than what we had with NAFTA. I mean, this is a campaign promise that President Trump made to the American people, and the USMCA deal that we are considering right now for an up or down vote is his living up to that campaign promise. It's better for Mexican workers with even labor standards put in place that many Democrats have asked for decades. It's better for our farmers. It's better for our manufacturers. I don't see why we don't put it on the floor other than leadership coming out of Speaker Pelosi's office and her leadership team. They don't want to give President Trump a win. That politics being played right there can be devastating to our farmers and devastating to our economy, and we need to demand that they put it up for a vote.
So when you talk about devastating, I think some would echo those words when it comes to trade disruptions and retaliatory tariffs. Those are things producers have no control over.
Clearly they don't, and they're a major concern, Tony. They really are. I think the president and his administration uses tariffs much, much differently than what we've seen. Ironically, He's taken the position that many of my Democratic colleagues have taken in the past, but now they seem to not like tariffs because President Trump does. I'm glad President Trump saw a victory in the threatened tariffs to Mexico to address the crisis at our southern border. But I don't think we should use tariffs as a bargaining chip. I want to see the USMCA go through. I think that will open the floodgates for future even bilateral trade deals, like hopefully with China, hopefully with South Korea, Japan, the EU, Great Britain, and others. And that opens markets for our farmers. Our farmers are going through a rough time right now because many might not know if they're going to get their crop in the field or not, whether or not to take preventive planting this year. That, coupled with the unsure environment of what the marketplace is going to look like once, if you get the crops in the field, they're harvested this fall, are you going to have a marketplace to sell those products? These are concerns that are rightful concerns of my farmers, and I'm concerned about them too.
You mentioned your farmers. Let's go to the district now. For those outside the district, how do you summarize the conditions right now?
Wet and wetter. It's something that we haven't seen in a long time with the precipitation we had through the months of April and May. The good news is, where I live in Christian County, Illinois, in central Illinois, the band of great soil we have, most of our farmers were able to get their acreage planted, or they see light at the end of the tunnel right now to be able to get it done and not have to take preventive planting. But just a little bit north of me, and maybe even the northern tip of my district, they're in worse shape. We're going to see more preventive planting policies in place in places like central Illinois and northern Illinois. But in the end, the good news is most of our farmers are able to get that crop in, and that's a far cry from where we were a few weeks ago, especially now, too. Historic flooding again on the river that could disrupt our transportation network. And that's something that we have to be concerned about going into the future, about how do we ensure that we upgrade our locks and dams and our infrastructure along the waterways to get our products out to the marketplace. And that's another issue that we have to deal with out here.
Could we say that it's somewhat of an alarm clock going off to remind us that infrastructure is important?
Well, maybe a couple of alarm clocks, Tony. Yes, infrastructure is clearly important. And I got to thank the Trump administration because they've invested the money to do a major rehab on the LaGrange Lock and Dam in the Illinois River, which is crucial to our farmers getting their products out into the global marketplace using our inland waterway system. It's been neglected for far too long. The Obama administration didn't put anything but Band-Aids in place on those locks and dams. And now this administration's looking ahead. And I think that's a very good sign, because once you make that investment, it's pretty hard to stop making continuing investments until the project is done. And that's where we want to see results.
It's always good to see you. We wish you the best. Hope things dry out. And again, best at the congressional baseball game as well.
Well, thank you, Tony. I hope you can bring your family again. And you know what? I hope for a different outcome this year. I hope we're hoisting the trophy once again.
Again, it's the Honorable Rodney Davis joining us on today's Agribusiness Report.